All right, anxious to talk. We haven't spoken since September. I would.
Wow.
A lot has changed. If I said September, I meant November.
Okay.
Folks, I got a lot of things to. Well, I don't want to say a lot. I always have a lot, but several things I want to discuss. But as always, anything that you all would like to start with?
Nothing in particular. We'll see what you come up with.
All right. Just to catch up a little bit, what did you all end up doing last year production-wise?
Yeah, so I brought that with me. So we ended the year 2017. We did $1,845,991, which was a 5% increase over the previous year.
All right. How'd you feel about that, Howard?
I thought it was good, not great. You know, with the market, it could have been better. You know, our goal was 2 million, which was a really lofty goal. So we have a goal of 2 million again this year. So I think it'll be better. Some of the other numbers, just to give you. So we try to raise 16 million in net new money.
Yep.
And we raised 16,667, so we beat that goal, you know, by 700 grand, which was good.
Oh.
And then we try to raise 150,000 of net new fee revenue, and we were behind on that. We raised 105,000, so it's kind of interesting.
All right, I'm making some notes. You know, when you look at the sometimes you look at, you know, the market was up a ton and your business wasn't up that much. You've got to take into account there, Howard, that you don't have 100% of your assets in equities.
Right. Right.
That isn't always a fair comparison. The other thing is you made some structural changes in your practice, and it's sometimes that's like being on a rowboat and trying to row and bail out at the same time. You just got a lot going on. So
yep.
I, looking at your numbers, I would say you have set the groundwork to have a great year in 2018.
I agree.
All right.
And the other thing is, the other number is we only had 3 new households last year, and we averaged the last 8 or 9 years 10 to 12. So that's certainly something a focus for 2018.
Only 3 what new households?
New households.
So you got a lot of money from existing clients.
Yep.
Which would account for, Scott, which would account for why
lower
the revenue, the 105, was lower than the 150 we're looking for, because the new money for existing clients will be a lower fee rate. Household, existing, mature accounts would have a lower fee rate.
All right. When you look at those 3 clients, the new clients, any commonality there? Referred from the same person, same business? Any commonality?
No, not really.
Okay. When you look back at 17, and I think we've already started a little bit here, what have been the things you're most excited about? Anything you would add to what you've told me when you look at 2017?
Well, I think it was our first full year of Tricia, and so I think having the team, you know, back at full strength, what I call it, with 5 of us, I think is a huge advantage. You know, Donald, you know, going through that retirement once again, you know, that was a transition phase, took some time for us to do through all that. So I think we're working through that. we have some stability in the office now. So that was, you know, part of last year as well. That was a little bit of a hiccup for us. So, as you said, I think we're poised for a good year in 18.
Anything when you look back on 17, anything that was under your control that you're disappointed in?
New households. That would be a bummer.
All right.
Anything for you, Scotty? What do you think?
I mean, certainly, you know, the
new household member. We did bring in new clients, which, you know, is really the bread and butter of raising that,
right,
that goal.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, you're breaking up a little bit. Could you get a little closer to the speaker?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just agreeing with Howard. I mean, I don't have anything to add. The disappointment would certainly come from lack of any new households, which would you know, remove any, you know, new fee arrangements or new families or anything like that. So it certainly is a stopping block.
When you look at the volatility that we've been through in the last, 3 weeks, anything, was there any opportunity to have referral discussions with people? Did you get many calls? Did you have many people panic? Anything that jumps out at you that could have been an opportunity to engage with clients around referrals?
I would say there's very little panic activity. I don't recall any calls, a couple calls, but nothing panic-stricken, especially after coming off, you know, an excellent 2017. No opportunity jumped out that I could articulate.
I think your spin is interesting, though, Rob. You know, I had one or two calls, and I was out of town and answered to people and stuff like that, and we had some volatility articles that were written well, telling people to stay calm and some of that stuff, that the typical stuff that's out there. There's some great, you know, one-pagers about volatility and getting used to it and stay the course and blah, blah, blah. But I see where you're going, though, as far as using that as if you have a friend or somebody like that is, you know, panicked, you know, talk to them or, you know, we'd be willing to have a conversation with them. So, no, I don't think that's on our lens or our paradigms. I think we need to think about how to use those as opportunities.
Well, Howard, I know that there are people out there who did panic.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
You can't have a market down 1,600 points intraday without a little bit of panic. My point is that the reason that you weren't getting those calls is because your clients felt comfortable that you all had your hand on the steering wheel here.
Right.
Don't take that for granted. Not everybody had that kind of day. I mean, I'm talking about from an FA point of view. So if it's a what you're doing is extraordinary work. And again, I'm not trying to play games here. I know that there are other people who panic. So what here's what clients, I'm going to just be a client here. Here's what clients don't want to hear. It's all going to work out. It's always worked out in the past. That would not be comforting to me. You all get paid, and I think I've used this phrase with you before, it's more important to anticipate change than recognize change. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
So the way that you anticipate change is by having people in the right asset allocation. Somebody, and I'll just make it up, somebody during all this volatility who was 50-50 bonds and stock had a much different experience than somebody who was in 90% equity. Agree?
Right.
So part of what you all are doing is anticipating change. Now, do you have any prospects do you have any prospects right now that you would love to have in your practice?
Yes, there are prospects, but that would love to have in our practice. I would say no. I'd say no. I mean, I had a meeting with a prospect on Friday. They're nice people. They, you know, they're working hard, but they don't, and they're referred to us from very close friends of mine, but I wouldn't say that they're going to be a huge, client. They'd be more of a
Butler.
Butler, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So are you telling me, Howard, that you don't have as many prospects as you would like to have?
Correct.
All right. Here's my point. It's always easy to second guess people's work. If I gave you a portfolio of someone's, you wouldn't have any trouble seeing some things in there that you would have done differently, probably.
Sure.
It's always
right.
easy. Something that's very, I think, is very effective is in talking to prospects in times like this, you say, I'd like to share with you what I was talking to my clients about at the end of the year. Do you see the difference between that and the other guy's not doing a good job or whatever?
Right.
You're not saying, hey, I wouldn't have done that, whatever. You're saying this is what we do. We didn't get a lot of calls over that volatility. And my experience tells me there's going to be more volatility, maybe not to that degree. So when
right.
you tell clients what you have been doing already for your clients that's kept them calm, I think that's very effective.
That's great.
Yeah. I people don't want to hear, hey, it's going to be okay, just close your eyes and you'll wake up and everything will be good. That's not a very
okay.
effective process. Now, what is the reason? I am surprised that you all don't have as many prospects as you would like. And I'm surprised because, I don't know you really well, but I know you well enough that you do good work. I would expect you to have more prospects. You deserve to have more prospects. What are the reasons that either one of you that you would say, why don't you have 15 prospects, 15 good prospects that fit your ideal client model?
I just don't think it's been our focus. I think it's been something that's
asked for them enough.
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, I can name, you know, two or three that I really want that are new prospects and then clients who have other assets that I'm still trying to get the rest over. But once again, back to what I said earlier, I just think it hasn't been our focus, and I think it's a great opportunity because I do think we have a great story. We're just we should have 10 to 15 prospects each, and we just haven't had that focus.
Well, that's good. To me, that's good news. If you had said, Rob, I just, you know, I don't know how to get them. I spent a lot of time on them last year. It just didn't work for us. It would seem to me if you make that a focus on what you're doing, that you're going to develop prospects. I mean, if you think about it, Howard, you know, 15 good prospects is developing. What is that? You know, three prospects every two months. It's not a huge task. So when you think
right.
about what's been effective for you in the past and things that we have talked about, what is the best way? I'm just talking to you right now, Howard. From your point of view, what's the best way to get more prospects? What's worked for you in the past?
You know, for me, it's all about just giving great service.
Yep.
And
yep.
having clients recognize and try to, you know, when they make a compliment about Trisha or Peter or Patty and just, you know, thank you, it's really important to us. You know, the five of us work really well together and we provide customer service and we really, you know, working for you is really important to us. We enjoy it. And having them hopefully make that switch to think about, you know, once again, someone else we could help.
You all, I'm sure, get lots of compliments. I'm going to tag on to what you just said, Howard. And it's if you just will be cognizant of the fact that people are recognizing your value, it gets you into a referral discussion. Howard, I really appreciate how we went all through all this volatility. We'd had this conversation in December. You told me there could be volatility. I just really appreciate the guidance that you have given us over the past 5 years. There's no question that's a recognition of value. Correct, Howard?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
No question. What do? You confirm that you heard it. Ms. Jones, thanks for saying that. Scott and I work really hard to provide that type of guidance. You always got to confirm it. And then if it's the appropriate time, do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same kind of guidance in these volatile times? You offer to help other people, Howard, around what they've recognized as value. You aren't saying, are there any client, you know, got any friends I ought to be talking to? You're very, very specific.
Yeah, I think that can be natural, and I think once again we just got to weave it into, you know, seeing the opportunity, recognizing the opportunity, and then just saying those two things. I think Scott and I can say that in our own words comfortably, and I think once we do it, I think it'll become habit. But I think we brush it off, and I've told my girls this sometimes when they get compliments, they don't stop and pause and digest a thank you, and you know you just kind of move on, and it is a really big deal.
It's a really big deal, and I don't know what it is about our industry, Howard, but we don't handle compliments very well. You know, it's always that oh shucks thing. Gosh, that's
right.
What we did, and
that's not
even fair to the client. They're giving you a compliment. You have to demonstrate that you heard it. If you all did nothing but that, if you did nothing but use that VIPSA script, you would develop prospects. It would almost be impossible not to develop more prospects. Your clients don't wake up in the morning, and I know I've said this before, saying, gosh, I haven't given Scott a referral for a while.
Right.
I got to get after this. So I just take it in. Take in the fact that people are recognizing your value. They want to help you if you give them the chance. So I know you've heard that.
I think that's great. And I think your point, Rob, is well taken, that I think all five of us can use that, because at different points in time, you know, we've all gotten compliments, but I think using that and back to, you know, if you don't track it, it's not, or you don't measure it, nothing happens. I think we got to get back to that. You know, 2 years ago, for many years, we tracked referrals out and referrals in. And I think, once again, just being cognizant of us doing that, you know, Scott and I had a goal of one referral, you know, per month, you know, nothing significant. But I think if we start to do that, and then if Peter, Patty, and Tricia get one, we could put that on the list as well. I think that'd be great. Top of the mind.
What percentage, when you get in front of qualified prospects, guys, what percentage of them do you think you land?
We had that number, and it was somewhere between like 60 and 75%.
Well, 75%. Is a common number I hear, but let's just use 50 to make the math simple. So that tells me if you all get in front of 20 people at 50% close rate, that would develop 10 new clients,
right,
which is what you have done.
Right.
That's doable, Howard. It's doable.
I think it is.
Yeah. I got so much I want to talk about. Let me go back to something, and this all fits. That all fits together. This fits together. We've discussed your reasons for being in Supernova, and one of them was being able to brand your service. That's what you told me way back when. I'd like to expand that thought to how you brand your practice. They're different things. Service is part of your practice. And let's go back to the sample brand. I just want to drive your brand deeply into your heart, so you know what you're doing. You know how good a job you're doing. You know why you're doing it. You want to make yourself different when you get with a prospect. So I'm going to do it in a pretending. Scott, you're meeting with a prospect, and the prospect says, Scott, let's cut to the chase. Why should I do business with you? Fair question. You're busy, they're busy. And let's go back to the sample brand and why you might have this brand. Number one, we have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. Why is that important to the client, Scott, that you all have a concierge practice for a limited number of people? What's in it for the client?
They have priority seating.
That's a good way to say it.
Priority boarding. makes them feel they're VIP.
And so the concierge practice for a limited number of people, is it fair to say you could not deliver a concierge practice if each of you had 150 households?
Right, correct.
That's really important. People, to me, it would be comforting to know that you all are, if you're prospecting me, that you all are confident enough and want to give a different level of service that you limit the number of people in your practice. That's why you have a, that's why you have a minimum. It's not because you all are arrogant or whatever. Is you've got to have control of the number of people in your practice. That's why we have a minimum. So that sample brand, we have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. What's in it for the client? You are going to have time to guide them through through all the financial and non-financial things in a person's life. The next
right.
part, we're a planning-driven practice. Now, everybody talks about planning. Not everybody does it well. What separates your planning is that it's your plans are revisited on a regular basis and they're fully implemented. What do most FAs focus on when they do financial planning? What's the first thing they drill down on, Scott?
The money.
They drill down on the balance sheet, to the
yep.
asset side of the balance sheet. They're some of the most important things you can do for a client. There is no direct compensation for you. It's just part of what you do. So you're talking to this, why should I do business with you? Well, I think there's several reasons. Number one, we have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. We do that so we can, and you know how to answer that question. We have a minimum so we can control the number of people in our practice. The second reason you ought to do business with us is we are planning driven. Mr. Jones, a lot of people talk about planning, and it becomes a one-time event. If you think about it, Mr. Jones, as soon as the plan is delivered, it's out of date the next day because things change. We review our plans on a regular basis, and we help you fully implement the plans. I've shared with you all that all my travels with Merrill Lynch, I did estate planning in three different cities with three really good, highly recommended estate planning attorneys, and never did one of those three call me to make sure I had done the things they had suggested I do. They didn't hold me accountable. Another reason people do business with you is you help them get their plans fully implemented. A financial plan that's not acted on really isn't a financial plan. It's a book. The third
right.
reason I think it's important that you why you should do business with us is we have a formal investment process. We've been doing this a long time. It is what it is. It's workforce. And we will continue to do it. We are not buying the fad of the month. We have an investment process that has worked for us over a period of years, good markets and bad. And then finally, why you should do business with me is all this is wrapped with unparalleled service. We talk to our clients on a monthly basis. We provide rapid response to any issues, problems you might have, with a 24-hour resolution standard. Now, here's what's happening, Scott. As you're talking about what you do, you're not denigrating the competition. That we don't think that's ever an effective thing to do. But as you are talking about what you and Howard do, that prospect is comparing it with what they're getting now. Do you fully understand that?
Right, for sure. And what they might be shopping if they've talked to other people.
Right.
Yeah, and it's always better to talk about what you do than what other people don't do.
Right.
This is what we do. So,
but I also think the way you said it, go ahead.
I'll send that to you. After the call's over, just so you can put it in your own words. But folks, this is not. There's a difference between simple and easy. There are simple things you can do that are not easy. If you all will just ask, get into those conversations when you get compliments. I mean, if somebody says something really nice to Patty, Patty may not want to go into that VIPS conversation for whatever reason, but Patty brings it to you, Howard, and the next time you talk to the client, you say, you said some really nice things to Patty. She was really complimented. She told us about them. And then you know where you go from there. We work really hard to provide that kind of service. Is there anyone else you know who might appreciate that same type of service? Yeah. You've earned the right to be aggressive with your questions.
Right.
So going back, and I'm looking at my watch. Going back, the simplest thing to do is follow up when you get a compliment, and then track it. I sent you something last night or yesterday that you've gotten before, but that document that says referral discussions.
Yes.
You need to have one of these in every one of your client folders.
Yep.
And if you turn to this and you should review it every time you have a meeting. And if you look at this referral discussion and there's nothing on there, or the last time you had a referral conversation of any kind was in 2015, you should be more observant about looking for those opportunities.
Right.
This is
right.
Not complicated. It's not.
Right.
It's simple, but you got to get into the ritual of doing it.
Yep. Yeah, no, this is good.
If you could do it, Howard, if you could have sometime during the year, and I'm just painting a picture, a VIPSA conversation with every one of your clients, well, I'll answer for me. I'd feel pretty good that you all would open more than 10 new relationships.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Now,
yep.
I'm going to send you all a. You've talked about wanting to get everybody in the practice involved with Supernova, and it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to send you a copy of something that it's called the five star leadership model.
Okay.
We've skimmed it during our time together, but I want you to look at how to integrate everyone into the practice. And what you're going to see at the top of the page, it's going to have this brand that we've just gone over, those 4 points, concierge practice, limited number of people, planning driven, formal investment process, unparalleled service. And then it's going to break there are 5 things that your team has to get done, in our opinion. You have to have somebody who's in charge of planning. You have to have somebody who's in charge of the implementation of the plans. You have to have somebody who's in charge of your brand. You know, are the clients all scheduled? What do you want the client experience to look like when they come into the office? Things like that. You've got to have somebody in charge of marketing your practice, website, LinkedIn, whatever you all do. Somebody needs to be in charge of that. And then you've got to have somebody who's going to be in charge of leadership. Where are we going and how are we going to get there? That's
great.
That's something
that's awesome.
That's something you all would probably want to share. So I'm going to send this out to you. I'm going to send you my verbiage on being able to brand your practice, not just your service. And I would also ask you to begin to put this referral discussions sheet in your folder. I think it will, you know, you all are busy. You got a lot going on. And if every time you go into a meeting, you'll take a look at this page, even if it's blank, it will make you more likely to have that discussion. All right?
That's awesome. Great time. Good stuff today. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk next month.
Sounds good. Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye.